I'm amazed at God, you know. When I woke this morning, I think I was feeling like Jeremiah. You filled my mouth with gravel. It's kind of horrible to feel like that, but that's the truth sometimes. And then as I'm praying with the elders, he reminds me of Jeremiah. And then our dear brother Laurie chooses Waymaker as the first song we sang, which is, when I don't see it, you're working. When I don't feel it, you're working. And then we have this delightful presentation by the children. And you start to see, wait a minute, God, you're at work in the lives of your people. Now, recently we began a series in Proverbs because I firmly believe one of the greatest needs of our time is wisdom. Wisdom. And you may recall when I recounted the situations in our world, in our time, in our society in which we're living, the decisions that have been made in the last 30 or 40 years that have devastated, destructed the good things, we're clearly not acting wisely. And the consequences of what we're doing, we are yet to harvest. And that doesn't look good at all. If we believe in a God who is just and true, as Billy Graham's wife said to the Americans, if God doesn't judge America for some of the wickedness of the land, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God is a judge. And the Bible is clear, you reap what you sow. It's eternally true. And we are sowing some very bad seeds at the moment in our community, in our world. And even the young man who spoke on Sunday night reflected on some of the things going on in the church. And he was in anguish. So we need wisdom. Because as we read this morning, at the end of this passage, whoever listens to me, verse 33 of what we read, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. That's a wonderful state of life to be in, to be at rest, to be like Jesus in that storm on the Sea of Galilee when, you know, the disciples were panicking because this horrendous storm attacked their little vessel. Well, he was sleeping. And God wants you and me in what is going to take place on earth to be like Jesus, to be sleeping as the storm hits. But we need wisdom. This is what this passage and this whole book, the book of Proverbs, is about. Wisdom. Now, we saw in the first message that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the start of wisdom. And what I've shared with you about God being a judge gives us a sense of, well, there are consequences and God is a judge. There's a person I've been speaking to recently who knows about hell. He's been taught as a young person and now he's an older person. He knows about hell and he's feeling so down, but he can't, you know, he's wrestling with the circumstances of life and he'd rather get rid of himself, but he knows about hell, so he can't do that. I said, just as well. Don't do that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And of course, our society has rejected the whole idea of hell. You know, as we go to funerals and everybody goes to heaven, according to the world anyway. But not according to Jesus. Jesus, the strong and kind shepherd who came to save us from our sins and the consequences of those sins, the judgment of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the scriptures, we see people who were incredibly wise. They had amazing ability to be wise. Joseph, who was thrown in a pit by his brothers. He had dreams of his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. And they were jealous and they opposed him. They wanted to kill him, threw him in a pit. He was sold to traders who took him to Egypt, and he was bought by Potiphar and served in his house. He was seduced by Potiphar's wife, but he fled. He ran away from sexual... Why did he run away? Fleeting pleasures of sin. Because he knew the consequences. He was wise. He ran out of the house. He was put in jail. Falsely accused. The wisdom of Joseph is he never appears to be at any moment bitter about all the treatment that he's given. He keeps his heart, as Proverbs 4:23 says. He guards his heart, for he knows that out of it flow the issues of life. And then he serves in all these places, and he's revered by the jailer and by Potiphar until he's falsely accused. And finally, he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. Well, that's a pretty amazing exercise of wisdom. Because not only did he have the wisdom to get him into that position, but he had the wisdom to put aside, you know, the grain, because he knew that there was going to be the trouble that was coming. Joseph was incredibly wise. But notice his life was the basis. I don't think it tells us at any point that Joseph went to a university in Egypt, but he became the prime minister. Well, what about Daniel? Daniel, who also in a similar way became a prime minister in Babylon, the leader of all of those counselors. Daniel is so like Joseph. He separated himself from all that was corrupt, all that was evil, all that was defiling. He wouldn't eat the king's food because he'd been sacrificed to idols. He separated himself. He lived a holy life. He prayed three times a day. Three times a day, every day of his life, it appears, because it says when we get to the lion's den, as was his custom, he went to his house three times a day, in the morning, noon, evening, and he prayed. He was incredibly wise because he maintained his relationship with the living God. Today we will see that wisdom is something alive. Wisdom is something alive. It's not a principle. Wisdom is something alive. What does Proverbs 1:20 say? Wisdom cries aloud. It's crying out. It's speaking. In fact, it's raising its voice. In the markets, she raises her voice. Wisdom is not a whole lot of knowledge. Wisdom is actually personal and it's alive, wisdom. And notice what it says there. Wisdom is calling to us every day in our very streets. Wisdom is crying out in our streets. Right here in Melbourne, it's crying out in the streets. You know, we have some neighbours. And ever since we've known them, they've been involved in crime. Stealing, lying. I remember going down there once and There was a great argument outside the house. Cars roaring. Went out to see what was going on. I went in there. And the man went into the house. Came out. Had a coat on. Underneath was a sawn-out shotgun. I went inside. I got out of the way. Now, why am I saying this, that wisdom is crying out in the streets? Well, that house is often visited by police, and there are often police arrests on the corner of our street. And they are not very wise, these people. Wisdom cries out in the streets. And there'll be all sorts of other illustrations that you will encounter in your daily walk of people acting foolishly and people acting with wisdom. We had a neighbour who locked himself away. And we tried to make connection with him, but he always ran away and refused to interact. He died in his home and was found days later. So sad. It's not good to steal, is it? It's not good to lie. It's not good to deceive others. It's not good to shut yourself away. Tempting to do it sometimes. We can shut ourselves away from people, can't we? Because we get hurt. We become bitter. There's unforgiveness in our hearts. Selfishness. These are not wise things, are they? And they're calling to you in the streets. All around you, wisdom is crying out. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out at the entrance to the gates of the city. Wisdom does not hide herself away. You know, sometimes little children say things because they perceive things because they can see them. They're right there. Front of them. I remember I used to have children in my car. Dad, are you speeding? You see, they know, don't they? They're watching. They see the little odometer. They think, oh, Dad, are you speeding? But do we listen? You know, are we listening to wisdom that is crying out to us? This is what the proverb is saying here. And then it says, it's at the city gates. Now, the city gates for the Israelite people were the places where the elders gathered at the city gates, because the elders were watching over that town, that city, and they were observant of people coming and going, and they would want to protect the people of the city at the city gate. So there'd be discussion. The elders would be talking there about, Jack Smith, who comes and he's always in the city, you know, he's trying to get those widows, isn't he? He's trying to get them and deceive them. We're not going to let him into the city anymore. At the city gates, there's wisdom. Where there are people who are caring for other people and watching over them and concerned for their well-being, you will always find wisdom. Parents, if you really love your children, you will be wise to protect them from things that would want to come into their lives. When the television is on, if you are protecting them, you'll be turning it off when there's impurity, when there's occult activity and witchcraft. Wisdom is there where there is care and protection. And foolishness abandons the city gate. That's what I see happening in our society all over the place. Parents handing their kids over when they get to 6 months. They go back to the workplace, give them to the childcare workers. You know, they'll look after them. They won't look after them like you will. They will not care for them like you do. They will not be there with the wisdom to close the doors to the evil forces that want to come in. They will not be there. Wisdom is heard at the entrance to the city gates. She speaks. And we've seen, you know, I think it's almost laughable that we have ads on television that promote gambling, and immediately afterwards there's another, you know, screen that says, you're about to lose, you know, basically. This ad that has just been given to you is completely deceptive. That's what it's saying. Does anybody listen? You see? What kind of a world are we living in? It's full of deception. I was thinking in Proverbs later on, as you're assessing the elders at the city gates, as you're assessing a good name, says Proverbs, is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. A good name, a trustworthy person, a person who has a reputation of faithfulness, a person... Now, that's a wise person. If you're a boss and you're employing people, what are you looking for? You're looking for the guy who's got lots of riches? Well, you're foolish if you are. If you're looking for the person who's going to be faithful and true. I love the story in one of those, I think it's Courageous, the film by the Kendrick brothers, where the man is in the workplace. He's a Mexican background in America, and taken into the office of the, and they actually getting him keyed up to tell a lie, but they're testing him out actually. And he goes home. He's going to lose his job if he doesn't do this thing that they've told him to do, which is actually deceptive. And he's wrestling with it, but he loses his job. But his wife tells his wife, and they're going to lose the income. And he goes in finally, and he sits in front of the boss and the other leader, and he says, "I can't do it." "You can't do it?" "No, I can't do it. It would be wrong. It's not true." "Ha! Thank you. We'll employ you." They were testing him out to see, because a good name is chosen rather than great riches, and favour better than silver or gold. Your character, your faithfulness is something precious, and it's wise to remain faithful and true no matter what the circumstances. And this is what this proverb is trying to tell us. But the message here is, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Now, this is not simplicity in the sense of being innocent. This is simple in refusing to listen to wisdom. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? You know, this week my wife gave me an article from the Australian newspaper of a young woman who has wrestled with alcohol addiction. She describes the cycle of going through this, a magnificent article actually, exposing the corruption and the wickedness and the bondage that alcohol has. And you go into the emergency departments of our hospitals and listen to the wisdom of our community. No, we won't listen. It is the most destructive drug of addiction in our society. Do you realise that? It's killing more people. But we promote it with millions of dollars while we, you know, as I said the other week, we condemn the smoker. Well, I wouldn't advise you to smoke either, but how long will you be simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Do you know, the sad thing is, Jesus said, the way is narrow and hard that leads to life, and few there be who find it, because few people actually end up listening to wisdom. We know, and certainly in the Western world at the moment, where is the wise person? We've got so much knowledge. We've filled ourselves with knowledge, but we can't act wisely. Well, think of God's commands. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why does God say that? Because he wants you to rest. He knows that you need rest. We even end up filling our Sabbath day with more and more activities, so we become more and more. He says, honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Just think of what Isaiah chapter 58 says about this. It starts with, cry aloud, don't hold back. This is Isaiah 58:1. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. You can hear, that's what I'm doing, lifting my voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Oh, it's always hard to tell people their sins, isn't it? It's hard to tell people their sins. I didn't choose this job. I'd run away from it easily. But God said, that's what you're to do. It's not to condemn people. God doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to set you free. He wants to do what we actually had this, anoint your head with oil. That's what God wants to do. And we're going to see this in the next few verses of this proverb. God is just longing to pour his blessing on us. But we won't listen to what is required in order to receive that blessing. Cry aloud, raise your voice like a trumpet. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, or they say so. Why have we fasted and you see it not? We've humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it. Behold, in the day that you fast, you seek your own pleasure and press all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel, to fight, to hit with wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is this the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow his head like a reed and spread sackcloth like ashes? Will you call this a fast and day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. But we don't listen because we're comfortable. We want to stay comfortable. This is the wisdom of God. He's speaking here. How do you feel about your brother Art? I know what my sister Sarah feels about our brother Art. How do you feel about him at the moment? You see, he's an incredibly wise man, our brother. He's just abandoned himself, taken himself off there, and you can feel his heart, can't you, Sarah? You see, I remember the day when that lady used to live in my house. I asked her this morning if I could share this, and she wanted to, you know, she wanted to get married. Every young person who has a desire to be married, take it to God and ask him for it. But don't focus on it. That's what I used to say to you. Don't focus on it. Focus on Jesus. Do what he says. So she ended off abandoning herself and going off to help, you know, girls rescued from prostitution, just like this passage says, right? And what did you get? A man who met you 1 week and the next week he's put 1,000 red roses in his garden. Who does things like that? When you asked about joy this morning, there's no greater joy. Oh, well, marrying my wife was great joy, absolutely. But going to their wedding in Chiang Rai, oh, man. The groom couldn't even give his testimony. He had to have it on a video because he would be weeping so much. That's joy. That's anointing your head with oil. But you see, God is longing to do this if we will listen to wisdom. You know, it goes on to say here, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honourable, if you honour it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. How did you feel this morning when you were singing with these guys? I could have sung all day. Why don't you get up here and do some more? When I was in Nairobi, we were in the church for 6 hours. You know, if you do this, God says, he says this, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is wisdom crying out to us. But will we listen? Well, if there's a verse you need to take home today, it's Proverbs 1, verse 23. This is God's word to you and me today. If you turn, Proverbs 1:23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. There it says in the NIV, then I'll pour out my thoughts to you. That's not a very good translation, actually, but it's okay to leave it there, because the word in the Hebrew is ruach, which is spirit or breath. I will pour out my spirit to you if you turn, if you repent at my correction. And this is so true. I remember speaking to my dear sister there. If you will listen, then God will pour his spirit out upon you. It's the call of the gospel. This is the call of the gospel. Why did we read Mark chapter 1? Because Jesus came after John the Baptist. John the Baptist was so important in the good news. As Mark tells us, this is the good news. Let me go to Mark 1. The beginning of the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning is John the Baptist. You can't receive the fullness of what Jesus wants to do for you until you receive John the Baptist's message, which is Proverbs 1 verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, at my correction, behold, I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And we think, you know, it's just sin, committing adultery or murdering someone. No, 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 no. Honouring the Sabbath day is just as serious. That's what I used to tell the man at the Waverley Hockey Club when I took my sons there. He said, well, why can't they play on Sunday? I said, would you murder somebody? Oh, no, 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 of course not. Well, actually, the command to honour the Sabbath day comes before you shall not murder. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. Now, it's not just the Sabbath day we're talking about here. It's attitudes of heart, judgments of one another, criticisms, jealousies, pursuit of worldly things, when God has told us, do not store up treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven. There are all kinds of things where God challenges us. And we live in a society that is absolutely swept over with sinful activities. In fact, that's why it's so hard to live. That's why you'll feel like Jeremiah and your mouth is full of gravel sometimes. That's why you feel like the young man on Sunday night who was so angry with these prayers for environmental sustainability when the world is going to be consumed. How do we go with what we watch on television? In our homes, do we allow sexual impurity to come through the screen? Do we allow witchcraft in all its different manifestations to come through? I remember a man from the Solomon Islands coming to this country and he was feeling demons coming out of the television set. Oh, we're not even aware of it because we've got so influenced. But God says, I want to pour my spirit out to you. If you turn at my reproof, my correction, I will pour out my spirit to you. Things like, you know, when you're struggling in the morning, as I was struggling today, and God says to me, all right, Michael, you don't want to get up. You're feeling absolutely worn out and finished. Now, give thanks. If you turn at my reproof, I pour out my spirit to you. You know, the sacrifice of thanksgiving is not an easy thing to give, is it? None of us find it easy to give thanks when we're going through incredible trials. You know, we had the story of Sarah Latchell before us this morning. Well, you didn't see the more twisted pictures of her later. But that little girl, she had heaven in her. There was something about her. I remember Goy coming to her near the end of her life, and she looked at him. Saw right through him. And she didn't say anything with her mouth, but Goy said, she was saying, where are you with God? She knew. Sometimes we put aside things that are so troublesome. But think of that little girl, Sarah. She believed in Jesus. She was down here one Sunday morning singing, Jesus loves me. That was before she lost the ability to speak. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, where is she now with a new body? With no more twisted, able to speak? Where is she now? She's with Jesus. She's with Jesus. Is that your vision before you? Heaven? Is that really where your heart is? Ask yourself the question. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, said God. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. You know, people tell me sometimes they're reading the Bible, they don't understand what it says. And I often think, there's probably a need somewhere for you to repent. Because God says, if you turn at his correction, he will open it up to you. It'll just come alive. That has happened to me all through my life as God has corrected me. And I go to the Word, it just comes alive. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. It's the call of the gospel. And where is wisdom found? Well, actually, it's only really found in Jesus. It's only found in Jesus. The Bible says this, Paul writing to the Colossians, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those at Laodicea, for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. They're in Jesus. And if you are close to him, if you are enjoying him, if you seek him first, you will find all the treasures of wisdom are in him. That's why Paul, you know, this great scholar, actually, Hebrew scholar, that's Saul of Tarsus, under Gamaliel. He had studied the scriptures through and through and through. He had studied the history of Israel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said when he came to know Jesus, I count it all but loss. My university degrees, I throw it out the door for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because he gives me wisdom. Now, what sort of wisdom did Jesus give to Paul? Well, he one day, there in Acts chapter 16, he's travelling with Silas. He's trying to make headway. And we read this, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's interesting, you know. I watched people doing evangelism yesterday, and I had to question sometimes, are you really being led by the Spirit here, you know? It's not just a matter of winning souls for God. You can do it in the flesh and create a lot of fleshly responses. But Paul, here, what sort of wisdom did he get? Being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia and attempted to go to Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. The Spirit was preventing them going forward. So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. What sort of wisdom is this? Where is this coming from? This is what James says. The wisdom that is from above. Wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable, open to reason. It comes from God. He wants to lead each one of us by the Spirit. This is Paul. He's abandoned himself to be led by the Spirit. And so, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so he followed this wisdom from above. What happens? Conversion in Philippi. Jail in Philippi, beating with rods, thrown into a Roman prison. And they start singing. There's a situation. If you think you've got gravel in your mouth, what about a Roman soldier beating you and putting you in stocks in a jail? And then, oh, now, if I turn, Paul and Silas, if we turn at your reproof, because we were beginning to grumble here in the jail, we need to give thanks to God. We need to pray and sing. So they start to pray and sing. What happens? I pour out my spirit to you. An earthquake. The chains fall off them. Is this not miraculous? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. This is the God we worship. This is the true living God. This is a God that wants to do amazing things, things we could never do ourselves. And, you know, we have the testimony of it right here in this church. When I came here, as I've told you many times, Edna Coghill, this lady, wanted to tell me her story when she was 7 years old. I was reflecting on this last night. At 7 years old, she prayed for her mother every day for 10 days, that God would send her £10. And we know the story. The aunt was in another place looking after a young boy and a grandmother. And the night before she was to go to her sister, she gets a knock on her bedroom door. And the old lady is standing there saying, are you going to your sister's tomorrow? Yes. I believe the Lord is telling me to give your sister this money. Where did that wisdom come from? The exact money a little girl of 7 has been praying for 10 days. An old lady gets a thought into her head that she should put £10 in an envelope. Where's that wisdom come from? And that story will be told for eternity, because that's the kind of wisdom God wants to give you and me. Wisdom from above, led by the Spirit, fulfilling the purposes of God in each one of our lives. But he can't do it unless we turn and repent. Because John the Baptist goes on to say, what did he say? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, were baptized to him in the river, confessing their sins. How are you going? How are you going at confessing your sins? It's not easy, is it? You know, when you get a bit snitchy with your wife or your husband or whatever it is, it's not easy to say, you know what, dear? I got frustrated, I'm sorry. Or you've been hiding, and I've done this. I'm watching a bit of sport on the thing, and I try and hide it from Kerry because she might think I'm getting distracted, so I don't tell her. What are you acting? How are you acting? You're deceiving your wife. So I have to go to her. Kerry, I'm sorry. I haven't been true. That, what are you like at confessing your sins? Because it prepares the way for Jesus. This is what John says. He says, after me comes he who's mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus will pour his Spirit into you. We just had that beautiful text as our memory verse this morning. He anoints my head with oil. That's not something you can do. You can't anoint your own head with oil. God has to do it. That's why Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is not something you can accomplish in your own strength. You look at the book of Acts. They are constantly in prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are equipped from heaven to accomplish the purposes of God on earth. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom from above, because wisdom is actually not a principle, it's not a whole lot of knowledge, it's a person. She is crying, we'll see later, he also. Wisdom is a person, and ultimately it's found all in Jesus. And when your relationship with Jesus is right, when you have turned at his reproof, he will pour out his Spirit upon you. And he'll make his words known to you. And you will have direction, and you'll have guidance, and you'll be led by the Spirit, not by your own understanding. And that truly is the wisdom of God. Let us all seek this kind of wisdom. Let's pray.